People of Britain. Oh, I do hate to be beside the seaside grimace. Hate Gordon Brown hand gesture, looking over his shoulder, underpants. This week, following my conference speech, it was suggested that by saying, I can only go one way, I've not got a reverse gear, I was merely plagiarising Mrs. Thatcher's famous quote, the lady's not for turning. But I can assure you that all my sound bites are 100% all my own work. In fact, that very passage in this year's speech came to me because I had a dream. A dream where one day little white children and little black children would play together happily as they were being treated in a foundation hospital built using public-private finance initiative money. And to those of you on the left of my party who say I'm finished, I tell you this. I will fight the GMB union on the beaches. I will fight the TGWU and the GWU in the streets. I will never surrender. And as for Gordon Brown and Charlie Bloody Whelan, infamy, they've all got it in for me.
The 50th edition of Dead Ringers.
You're watching BBC One. Sunday night sees the return of Monarch of the Glen, Heartbeat Without a Pulse. And now it's EastEnders.
Gin and tonic here, please, Kat. Here, what do you reckon to Dirty Den being back then? Is he going to start throwing punches or what?
I don't know, Pat. BBC bosses are worried about the level of violence in soaps. Think about it. Dennis punches Phil. Phil threatens Dennis. Jack threatens Dennis. Dennis kills Jack. Phil beats up Dennis. Lisa guns for Phil. Sharon slaps Phil. Phil slaps Sharon. Sharon slaps Dennis. Barry squashes Janine during sex and I'm fighting my weight. And that was all in the one episode.
Do they think it's a bit too violent then?
Nah, they reckon it's not nearly violent enough. Den might be back, but now there's plans to bring a real hard man to the square. Someone who's so mean and dangerous that any of the blokes in the square who think they're tough had better think again.
Oh, my God, no. It can't be. It's...
me, Brian Perkins. And I've just bought a drum machine off the market.
What are you doing here?
I've been here all along, practising my evil. Who do you think shot Den in the first place? Who do you think is really training Lisa to kill? And worst of all, who do you think buys Shane Ritchie his shirts for him?
You bastard.
With knobs on. Now I've retired from Radio 4, I'm just a tough guy for hire, and I'm harder than even your plot lines are to figure out. Now if anyone wants me, I'll be down the arches, tinkering around underneath Sam Mitchell. Sorry, I thought I'd turn the drum machine off.
My name is Greg Dyke. And I am Director General of the BBC. Bring back the littlest hobo. No way. He's far too busy running BBC Three. Now, as I'm sure you've heard this week, we've axed Rolf's Animal Hospital after 10 years on air. And you probably think it was easy for me getting rid of Rolf. Well, you're wrong. It was bloody difficult. Yeah. I had to flush that bloody toilet nearly 13 times. And he still ended up getting stuck halfway round a U-bend. Oi, Yentob, stop going on about Trevor Nunn. My gravy's got lumps in it.
Hello, you're watching Newsnight Review. I'm Mark Lawson, the Buster Blood Vessel of the Arts. Following the announcement of a new series of Doctor Who, auditions have begun to find the new Doctor.
Very well. Now, this is Dave the Dalek. He's going to do a scene with you in your own time.
Who are you that you would dare question the Daleks as to our plans to conquer the Earth and enslave all mankind?
I'm the new Doctor Who, for your information. You jumped up, little pedal bin. It's time to play the weakest evil creature.
During the last round, the Daleks were the strongest evil creature, as not only did they answer the most questions correctly, but they also invaded the planet Skaros in the Axalon galaxy. But will the voting reflect that?
Cyberman, you voted the Daleks as the weakest evil creature. Why?
I'm sorry. I just don't find sink plungers scary.
Daleks, you voted for the Sea Devil. Why?
Exterminate! Exterminate!
Yes, that's your answer to everything, isn't it? Well, it's votes that count. Daleks, you are the weakest evil creature. Goodbye.
The most humiliating part was doing the walk of shame. I'm sure it never used to be three flights of stairs.
Hello and welcome to You and Yours. I'm Liz Barclay.
And I'm John Waite. Coming up on the programme, doors. Are they really the best way to get into rooms?
And drawing pins. What are the hidden dangers of using them as contact lenses?
But first this week, dodgy goods. We've received many calls from listeners complaining about a defective soft toy they bought. Liz takes up the story.
When the Labour Party bought their Care Blair 7 years ago, it was their understanding that he came with a guarantee of endless election victories. But now it seems those guarantees were worthless. I'm joined on the line now by Claire Short.
Well, yes, when we took our shiny new Care Blair out of its box, we were all over the moon. You know, you pulled its cord and it said three simple phrases.
Will you be Care Blair's friend? I wub you. Things can only get better. Furry face, washable ears, 100% acrylic hand gesture.
I thought our Care Blair was going to stay that lovely and cuddly forever, but in fact he turned out to be far too realistic. And one day I went to pick Care Blair up and he peed all over me. Well, I can tell you, Liz, my jaw hit the ground. Well, it moved about a quarter of a millimetre, which is pretty much the same thing in my case.
A Mr. K. Livingston of London echoed Claire's complaints.
I ain't Care Blair was supposed to have detectable limbs. But try as we might, we can't prise its fingers away from the door to number 10. No, I mean, we just can't manage it.
And this angry delegate demanded answers from the man who sold Care Blair to Labour.
In small parts, they may cause choking.
Tonight at 8 on BBC One, join Michael Hogden as something unexpected goes under the hammer in our new series, Auction Man. Yes, it's his testicles. As David Dickinson makes it crystal clear once and for all that there's only enough room for one eccentric antiques expert on primetime. But first, following the news that it's been cancelled after 10 years on air, we have a special sneak preview of the very last episode of Rolf's Animal Hospital.
Yeah, good day. Welcome to this, the last ever Rolf's Animal Hospital. Yeah, I know it's very sad. And you know, folks, we've got a little problem. You see, we're still treating lots of lovely, cute little animals, kittens with ear infections and hamsters with dicky tummies that might not make it through the night. Usually, as you know, we'd end the series with lots of cliffhangers that would be resolved at the start of the next series. But of course, there's not going to be the next series, and I know it'd break your heart not knowing whether animals like Fluffy here pulled through. So I'm going to do the only humane thing. And what about the adorable bunny with a dodgy ticker whose heartbreaking story we'd usually drag out over three series? Not to mention the turtle that's lame in one leg. In fact, all the animals. There, you're not in any suspense now, are you? And I don't want you worrying whether Trude Mostu's going to get a new job either.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Jordan for the Home Counties. ITV's decision to screen their new homegrown mafia crime family drama, The Family, was condemned this week by Radio 4.
They say ITV showed the Radio 4 drama department no respect. And if anyone's going to be making a lame, lazy, homegrown version of The Sopranos, it's them. So we present Diamond Geezers in Motors with Two Smoking Shooters, starring Dame Judi Dench and Martin Jarvis.
Hello, darling. I'm home.
Oh, hello. How was your day, darling?
Oh, much the same as ever, dear. Money laundering, extortion. Oh, I did bump into hatchet-faced, bullet-toothed Psycho Bill.
Oh, that was nice. I do like him so much more than the last vicar we had.
Do you know, it's been over 3 months and he still hasn't paid me back that monkey he owes me for pulling that bring and buy sale. So naturally, I took him for a long drive out to the country.
Did you force him to dig his own grave, dear?
No. I forced him to pay for his own ploughman's lunch. At this rather quaint pub we stopped at.
That wasn't very hard, was it, dear?
Oh, wait, there's more. I also refused point-blank to let him listen to the Archers on the way back to town. I tell you, I was more animal than man. Anyone crosses this crime family and they know what to expect. Sheer bloody rudeness. Darling, is something wrong? Have you been crying?
Well, no. Well, yes. Yes, I have been. I didn't want to burden you, dearest, but I fear we might have crossed one of the rival crime families. You see, this morning, I woke up and there was something hideous on the pillow next to me.
Oh, no, darling. Not a horse's head.
No. Something far more grotesque and hideous. Him.
Hello! I'm Brian Blessed!
Right, now this is Dave the Dalek. He'll be doing a scene with you. Right, off you go, Dave.
Exterminate! Exterminate! You can never defeat the Daleks, Doctor! Never!
Who the f*** are you and what are you doing in my family room? Sharon, I've started having them flashbacks from the last Sabbath tour again. Or the f***ing garbage bins have started speaking to me again. I know I've spent the last 20 years living in another dimension, but this is f***ing nuts.
Hello?
Yes, hello. I wondered if I may speak unto the gentleman by the name of Rolf Harris, please.
It's Rolf Harris here, yes.
Hello, my name is Brian Sewell, and for a very long amount of time I've been a great admirer of your art.
Oh, thank you.
Now, my approach to art has always been to do with causality and tone and the effects of antediluvian ribaldry. But I think it would do me a great deal of good if I attempted to create a painting in the manner that you do it.
Well, get yourself a 4-inch house painting brush and some emulsion paint and have a go. You need a big, basic area.
Let me see if I could create the same sort of effect that you do. Here we are.
Okay.
Pom, 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 pom. Now I've got it here. There is the pre-Raphaelite form. There.
And you've got to keep turning round and saying, can you tell what it is yet?
That's good. I won't get it. There's the pre-Raphaelite form.
Do a bit of that.
Badum, badum, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Yes.
Can you ascertain what the form is yet? Do you think I've got it?
By George, you've got it.
Later tonight, here on BBC One, there's Belly Laughs Aplenty on The Crouches, when the executive producer asks the BBC One controller whether they'll be getting a second series. But first, there's another unexpected arrival on EastEnders.
All right, Sharon. Long time no see.
Grant Mitchell, what are you doing here?
Well, I just went off for a bit of a holiday with my kid. Had a nice relaxing time. Cleared me head. And now, I'm back.
Oh, no way. You can't just waltz back in here saying that.
Why not? Albert Square's my home.
No, you can't waltz back in here saying that, because it sounds far too plausible. Everyone knows you can only return to EastEnders these days with some preposterous explanation of what you've been doing. Tell him, Den.
Yeah, Sharon's right, Grant. After I fell into that canal and supposedly died, I actually swam underwater to Spain. Hold it. Yeah, holding my breath. And then I got into a bullfight and the bull batted me all the way back to Albert Square.
See? Totally implausible. Just like the reason Peggy's given to explain where she's been when she comes back next month.
Oh, she's right, Grant. After I left the square, I backstroked all the way to Germany, where I infiltrated a cell of Al-Qaeda terrorists working undercover for MI5. And then my huge wig was brought back to life by GM technology and it chased me back here.
But, Mum, I just needed a break. And now I'm back.
You're just not getting this, are you, Grant? Lou, have a word with him.
Oh, my pleasure, Sharon.
Lou Beale, but you're dead.
Why should that get in the way of a ratings-grabbing storyline? What happened was I actually abseiled my way out of that coffin and paraglided my way to France, where I've been working as a showgirl at the Moulin Rouge. Where in last night's show I was shot from a cannon and landed smack bang in the middle of the laundrette.
See, Grant, if you want to come back to the square these days, we'll need to hear a totally implausible story to explain your return.
All right, I'm back. Because all my shows on ITV, like Absolute Force, have been such massive hits with both the public and critics alike.
Good evening, I'm one of the Dimblebees. Our latest projection suggests I'm David, but I must emphasise that's just a bit of fun. For the last 40 years, I've been bringing the great events of state into your simple, ordinary homes, but now, for the first time in 40 years, I've actually entered a simple, ordinary home to see how you absorb all those occasions of national import. And frankly, I'm disgusted.
Here, who are you?
I assumed you'd have the manners to watch my broadcast huddle in awed silence round the television, in smart attire and with only a small pouch of shag to accompany you. But if this slobbish, fetid troll is anything to go by.
Hey.
Then, in fact, you probably spent the whole of Prince Charles' investiture at Carnarvon eating Frosties in your pants. You then half watched the release of Nelson Mandela through the scissors you were using to trim your nasal hair.
Hey, aren't you?
Don't speak.
You're
to me,
him
pleb.
Off the telly, aren't
hold
you?
Hold on, pleb. Well, if this is your attitude, I'm not going to bother either. Next royal funeral, I'm going to get the tinnies in, and I'm doing it in a paddling pool. Honestly, next thing I'll find you fiddle with yourselves during question time.
Hello?
Hello, is that the guest house in Bournemouth?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's lovely. My name is Mr. Brown. I'm actually staying over the road, and the conference is going to be drawing to a close quite soon. But I wondered if I could check out of there and come and stay at your nice guest house instead. Would that be all right, my dear?
Hang on a second. Where are you staying?
Just at that big hotel over the road, you know.
But you don't like it there, no?
Well, it's a little ostentatious. It's somewhat expensive. I have calculated that if I was to stay there over the next 5 years, the fiscal total outlay of turtles, in real terms, would affect the base rate of Hector's house. And I don't think that is something that would be acceptable to the British people. So I've got to make the tough decision now to move out of there and stay somewhere which will be more nicer.
Right. Hang on.
Be careful.
How long did you want to come for?
I was wondering what you might have available towards the end of this week.
The end of this week, there would be... Can I get back to you? Because we were actually going away this weekend.
Oh, well, anywhere nice?
No, we were only going to Weymouth. Right, if you give me your telephone number and I'll find out, because I'm not sure what he's actually doing, if he's going to take bookings now or leave it for a while.
Yeah, I'll give you my main office number.
Yeah, okay.
0207.
Oops, hang on. 0207.
One.
One.
And that's it.
0207. One.
One, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That number will get you to London and then to my very important house.
Oh, okay.
What, may I ask, do you provide for breakfast every day?
There'd be bacon, sausages, eggs, beans, mushrooms and tomatoes. And toast. And also you get cereal and you'd get fruit juice and
really?
Fresh fruit as well if you wanted it.
What is the nature of the cereal?
It's all Kellogg's. It's not Sainsbury's or Tesco's make.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that.
So these are genuine breakfast products. I wondered if I was to select fruit and fibre, the longer strips of bran I do not like, would you be able to pick those out?
Yeah, they have that, yes. We have that there anyway.
but would you be able to, prior to my breakfast time, pick the longer bits of bran out with some tweezers?
Tweezers? I could do if you want me to, yeah.
Well, thank you very much indeed. It has been a great pleasure speaking to you today. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Goodbye.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green, the eighth deadly sin. Time now for the Archers, and with Brian recovering in hospital after his car crash, the residents of Ambridge have rallied round his bedside.
What's Brian doing, Doctor? Is he going to be all right?
I'm afraid we've got good news and bad news, Clary. The good news is that Brian's recovered from the coma.
Yes!
But he now seems to be under the delusion that Ambridge isn't real and that you're all just actors.
That's nonsense.
Oh, it's not nonsense, Eddie. It's true. You have to listen to me. Suddenly I see everything clearly now. We're not really everyday country folk. You know, we don't really live in the wilds of Borchester. No. We all just drive up to Birmingham once a month to record a month's worth of insipid storylines.
Oh, don't be silly, Brian. Who in their right mind would ever mistake you for an actor?
No. Oh, come on, Eddie. Do you think actual farmers really shoehorn obscure agricultural facts and figures in their conversations?
I've never given it much thought. Though, having said that, organic egg production in Britain grew by 7% in 2002.
And why do you think our lives are so repetitive?
Let me get this straight, Brian. You're saying we're actors, just doing and saying the same thing over and over again.
Yes, Ruth, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
Siobhan, you believe me?
Brian, don't say these terrible things. What about our future together in Germany?
Oh, that was never going to happen, Siobhan. Let me tell you, Germany wouldn't have been how you imagined it.
How can you say that?
Because the Archers only have two sound effect tapes to play behind people who are supposedly in Germany. This. Or this.
Nach einem Jahr kann ich euch hier wieder begrüßen.
Oh, I've heard enough. Brian Aldridge, you've just had a terrible knock on the head, that's all.
Well, yes, I suppose the accident did shake me up a bit. No, I'm just being silly. You're right, Clally, yes.
Oh, of course I'm right. Us, actors, I've never heard such nonsense. You know, I thought Brian was never going to stop babbling. I need a drink after all that. What's your fancy, Soho House or Groucho?
I was sipping a cup of Earl Grey just the other day after attending the local jumble, when a man came on the wireless informing me that after an absence of 14 years, the character of Dirty Den was returning to EastEnders. Oh, Alan, said Thora Heard, suddenly appearing from nowhere and grabbing the comestibles on the cake stand. It's a crying shame when long-running programmes become so bereft of original ideas they have to resurrect much-loved characters. I nodded sagely, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 2002, when Thora, assisted by me, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettifer from Number 42, faked her own demise. Some days earlier, Thora had confided in me that the heat had been on her for some time, as the knob on the gas fire had dropped behind the settee, and she'd been unable to turn it off since February. But she was also in trouble because she'd recently had the urge to present the Heaven and Earth show, but was unable to because of the Songs of Praise Mafia. So one fateful day, Thora was trapped by an assassin carrying some daffodils, who opened fire with a sawn-off hymn book. Thora fell backwards into the canal, or so they thought, but it was actually an ingeniously disguised walk-in bath. After a lovely soak in some Radox, Thora dried herself off and caught the first plane to Spain, where she, Ronnie Biggs and Lord Lucan recreated the British life in the sun by importing tin baths with wheels and hurtling down hills. So I say to those BBC bosses who brought Leslie Grantham back to EastEnders, wouldn't it make a great cliffhanger in next Sunday's Songs of Praise if 2 minutes before the end, Thora was to emerge from the shadows of Canterbury Cathedral, greeting the congregation with those sinister, throaty words, "Jesus wants me for a sunbeam." But of course, they won't show it, will they?
Hello?
Hello, could I speak unto Mr. Brian Perkins, please?
Speaking.
That is excellent. I am the doctor.
I realise that immediately.
We can't have this, my friend. What is this I hear about you retiring? That simply won't do.
I've always been a very retiring person, and that's the long and short of it, really. But, however, if you have any observations that you would care to make in the present circumstances, I'll fire ahead, Doctor.
My friend, would you mind if I were to transfer you to alternative time?
Alternative time? And what time is that?
Well, the time for you to meet your other self.
Oh, my God.
Bear with me.
Thank you.
So, I suppose that would be Brian, would it?
Yes, speaking, yes. Who's that now?
You're talking to the daddy. So I suggest you live with it for the time being.
Live with what?
Never mind. May I ask what you are doing this day?
Well, as it happens, I was just drying some wine glasses.
Drying some wine glasses?
Yes, I still have the tea cloth over my right shoulder to prove it, but...
Drying wine glasses with a tea cloth over your shoulder. Well, that's very hard, isn't it? Shaming the name of Perkins.
I don't quite follow your drift, Simon. Shaming the name of Perkins by drying some wine glasses. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think people should be encouraged to dry the wine glasses, otherwise you'll be left with soapy deposits. And we don't want to be left with soapy deposits on our wine glasses, because that would influence the taste of the next glass of wine, whatever it may be.
Well, that's as may be, but I would suggest that rather than drying wine glasses with a dishcloth over your shoulder, your time would be much better spent ripping the heads off Mark Lawson and Clive Anderson and giving them to Jordan for her new implants.
Have you ever been on a narrowboat?
No.
Well, we've just been on a narrowboat. And we just came back yesterday, but not on the narrowboat, we came back by car, because narrowboats don't travel on the road. But we have been in the north of England or the North Midlands on a narrowboat, and I saw lots and lots of wonderful sights and plenty of lochs and nice pubs, and there are trees and there are squirrels and all
charming
sorts of wildlife and that sort of thing.
It sounds very charming. I hope you dropped Peter Donaldson in a concrete overcoat over the side whilst you were there.
I had him in lock number 93 on the Trent and Mersey Canal, and all I saw was the bubbling remains of Donaldson as he sank deeper and deeper into the murky of lock 93.
My brother, our work is done. Well, I will talk to you very soon.
Well, thank you, and it's nice to talk to you too, and don't forget, you know who the daddy is around here, don't you?
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Kevin Connolly, Mark Perry and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw, Ali Crockett and David Scott. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.